If you did not get a Mother's Day flower yet, we have flowers there in the multi-purpose room. I believe they're still in there. Some Sweet Williams back there. They're in the foyer, I hear. So take Sweet William home with you today. And that's a flower. Amen. In celebration of Mother's Day. So thankful that you are all here today and thankful for God's grace and his mercy. Amen. I'm thankful for the powerful women in my life. My beautiful mother, who is here today. My best friend. I love her with all my heart. She has been an inspiration to our family. She was the spark that got the fire going. She was the one who responded to God's voice first, made the change in her life. And when she did, her children followed suit, and so did her husband. And God turned our family around, changed the course of our history, and the half has not yet been told. Amen. And so I honor her today. I honor her as a trailblazer, as a woman minister, a woman pastor. When woman pastors weren't cool, she was a woman pastor. Amen. I have not had to fight near the battles or climb near the mountains that she had to in her time of ministry. And so I'm grateful for those who have done that and have plowed the way and have made that way for me to be here today where I am. I am a product of women who have sown into my life and men who have sown into my life and have been powerful influences on me. Amen. Can somebody in here say there's been a powerful woman or powerful influence in my life that I read something. Let me think if I can remember how it was. There has not been a place that you'll go that a mama's prayer probably has not already been. I like that. I like that. I believe in the power of prayer. Can somebody say amen? And probably the reason that we escape some of the things that we do is because we got some praying mamas, amen? Some praying papas, some praying family, some prayers that are still hanging out there, I think, in the portals of heaven yet to be answered. Amen. I've told you before when my kids were at college and I would be at the house and I'd be sitting on the couch or something, all of a sudden I'd feel the power of the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I'd start praying. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, cover them, Holy Spirit. Amen? When you hear that voice, use it. When you hear that voice, use it, respond to it, because I believe God will speak to you. And I would just have a sense that they needed prayer. Maybe they just needed backup. Maybe they just needed comfort. I don't know. And then sometimes I'd call. I'd say, hey, how you doing? Where you at? What's happening? Just checking. Love you, you know. Yeah. Mom's voice rings in our ears. Amen. And so I want to share some things this morning because it is Mother's Day. I normally don't share this picture, this scripture on Mother's Day because it seems like it's, I don't know why I don't share it, but I'm going to share it this morning. So it seems a little cliche or something, I guess. But the title of my message this morning is Grit and Grace. Grit and Grace. I may believe we need to have a little bit of grit and a little bit of grace mixed in together. Hallelujah. And so somebody give me a definition of grit. What do you think it means to be grit? Strength. I knew true grit and John Wayne would come out there somewhere. Strength, tenacity, tough, fortitude, strong. It could be abrasive, maybe. Grit's abrasive. Willingness to stand, that's what she said, willingness to stand. Fortress, powerful, strong. We know the scripture is full of powerful women. Old Testament and New Testament. Old Covenant and New Covenant. There's some powerful women in there. And, you know, I don't believe all the credit goes to the women. It does. All the credit doesn't go to the men. But aren't we much more stronger force together? Yeah. I think the more we learn to work together as families, as marriages and relationships and things like that, that God can use the strength of one and maybe the wisdom or the, I don't know, we can become a blending and not just in the household, but even in our fellowships and things like, how many know we need the skills, the talents, the abilities, the personalities of all of us together in one house? How many of you in here like biscuits or homemade bread? You know, when we talk about bread, right? So, like if you ate the lard or the oil by itself, it would have no flavor. If you ate a spoonful of flour by itself, it has no character. If you just had salt, it really wouldn't do anything for you, or just the sugar. But man, when you mix flour and oil and yeast and sugar and salt together, then you got yourself a hoe cake. Amen. You got yourself a hot roll. You got yourself a biscuit or whatever it is, if whether you're a biscuit or a hot roll kind of person. But I mean, no, it's the blending of those things together. Cinnamon by itself is very bitter. It has no real flavor, and it's very bitter. But you mix that with some sugar and put that on top of a cinnamon roll, and let me tell you, that bitter cinnamon takes on a whole new character. And I believe in the body of Christ, he blends us together like the art of the apothecary, and he blends us together as spices, because sometimes we need the blending together of the other parts of the body that cause us to have flavor, to take on the character of something that is profitable, something that can feed the hungry, something that can touch the world or touch the nations. And I believe God loves bread. He said, I am the bread. He's the, you know, they had manna come down from heaven. He provided manna in the wilderness. And he said, I am the bread. And so I believe that God positioned us and put us in places where we can blend together to be what God has called us to be. Amen. And so all of us have multi-talents. We have abilities. We have characteristics that God wants to use and to develop and to bring out those flavors and spices in the house. Amen. I want to go to Proverbs 31, and I'm going to start at verse 10, and I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. It says, a good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn, preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then with money she puts aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates in the city with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shop. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you have outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. I don't know if you know this woman or not, but probably most of you don't even like her. She's an overachiever, right? She's a Pinterest mom. We read these stories and I used to think, wow, what a list there of, you know, this virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman for prices far above rubies? And it starts out saying a good woman is hard to find. That's a little card I'm going to put in my husband's lunchbox or his cell phone case that, you know, just so he remembers that a good woman is hard to find. And so we see all of these things and we read these stories, and especially when you read them in the Message Bible, it's like, wow, who is she? And I probably don't even like her because, you know, where I'm constantly comparing myself to this woman, whoever she is. But Psalms 31 is the mom who is talking to King Lemuel, and she's giving instruction to a son. She's talking to her son, and so she's trying to encourage him into what to look for and what is profitable and what will bring you favor in your life and all those kind of things. So if you are looking for a woman or a wife, take that scripture home with you, pray over it fast, read about it, and there's your checklist. But, you know, I was thinking about it last night, and I've said it and I've shared it before that the scripture says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies or far above diamonds. And I'm like, I don't know who can, right? Where is this woman at? And so what happens is a lot of times is we measure ourselves by a standard that looks something like this and think, wow, if I ever get all of these things done, if I ever accomplish all of these things, then I will be a virtuous woman. I will be that woman, you know, that's read about in Psalms 31. But what I realized is it's not the things that we do that make us a virtuous woman, but because we are virtuous or have virtue or value, that word value or virtue means valor, grit, strength. And because we have virtue, because we are anointed of the Lord, I believe a lot of those things flow out of who we are. Now, let me just submit to you this morning that I don't necessarily think that this is one woman. I think he's describing a whole lot of many different women than just one woman who does all these things. And as I said before, we have many different spices, many different flavors. But here's what I realized in there that speaks of this woman. She's a good wife. It says she shops. Can we say amen, ladies? Yeah. She's good with yarn. She's a traveler. She loves to cook and fuss. She's a real estate agent. She purchases property. She's a gardener. She does charity work and takes care of the poor. She loves winter. Yes. She's a seamstress. She runs her own business or shop. She's a public speaker, and she teaches her family about God. All those qualities are all in that virtuous woman. And all of these things that she does. But maybe you identify with one of the characteristics of her. Maybe you're not the seamstress type. I remember in high school, FHA, making a jumpsuit. That was our project. And I didn't do too bad on that nylon polyester jumpsuit that I made in home ec back in the day. Except it was tan, and I put a big, bright yellow zipper right up the back of it. So I knew my calling in life was probably not seamstress. But it might be yours. Maybe you're not the cooking type. I have a friend, and she does it. She said, when I would tell my kids it's time for supper, they knew to run to the car and get in. Because we were going out for takeout, or we're either going to grandma's or we're going out to dinner tonight. So that might not be your skill. That might not be your talent. Maybe you love to travel, and maybe you're a homebody and don't like to be out and about. Maybe you love gardening. I love gardening. I love gardeners, but I am not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb. There's a whole lot of skills and a whole lot of talents and abilities among us. But I think one of the biggest pitfalls is we tend to measure ourselves against somebody else and think, oh, I don't do that as well as they do it, or I don't do that at all, or if it could look like what theirs looks like, then we would have it all together. But how many know there are no carbon copies for family models, who you should be or what you should do? But I'm going to tell you this morning, be the best you can be. Be the best you can be. We tend to pull out the measuring stick, and we tend to measure ourselves by other people. And I think our biggest downfall is when we think, wow, I don't measure up to what they did or who they are, and so I must be less than. And so then we sometimes look at ourselves like that. And I think it hinders us being who God has created us to be. The word virtue means valor. And how many know times have changed from the Leave It to Beaver days? Leave It to Beaver's mom always had it together. Aunt B always had it together on Mayberry, right? And so, but I mean, times have changed over the years. The demands and we are a lot of families that are two-income families. And so both work. And so then there's children, and they're still, and all the same jobs that were there before are still there. And so then we try to figure somehow how to juggle all of that together. But, you know, I found out a long time ago, husbands and fathers, you are never more attractive than when you are ministering to your family. I got one amen out of that and a nod. Come on, ladies, that you are never more attractive than when you are ministering to your family. And I don't mean, whatever ministering means to your family is up to you, but I think, you know, men are strong and they're the brave and they're the strong ones. And so when they're ministering to their little girls or their sons or ministering to their wives or their children, their family, there's never anything more attractive to that to me. Amen? I mean, that's powerful to me, that you can be strong and brave, but yet be tender and be moved by the needs of your house and by your children and your wife and your mom and all of those things. I always just say, honey, you look good in that apron. You look good in that apron. And I got to say, he is a great help to me. I am very blessed, and he is a great help to me, and he does look good in apron. Amen. And he cooks me breakfast every morning, and then he washes dishes, and he does laundry, and I'm very blessed by that. We have a very busy schedule, and we do it together. And we are able to navigate what we need to navigate because we both know how to sail the ship. And we work together to do that. And so I'm thankful for that. But I did want to tell you, in case you haven't got, guys, if you haven't got anything for your wife for Mother's Day or your mom's or whoever, I'm going to tell you what she wants. She wants to sleep in. She wants to get up to a clean house. And then she wants an afternoon nap. And if you can't do that, diamonds are okay. Or money, or, you know, shopping, all that's okay. But here's what she really wants. She really wants to sleep through the night, right? Especially some of the young moms that are getting up with kids and all of the demands that are on us. And so if you can't, you know, if you can't get that, well, diamonds or money, all those things are good too. Amen. A new pair of shoes and a good lipstick and mascara can take a girl a long way, right? Foot rub, that'll work. Go ahead. But you know, I think when we look, read the story of this virtuous woman, and sometimes we read it and think, wow, you know, this woman is like, she wears a cape and has a great big red S on her back, you know, and she must never sleep because she just got it going on. This girl has got it going on. The only thing it doesn't mention is she does it in high heels or something, you know. And so we look at that sometimes and we try to measure ourselves with her and we think, that is not me. That is not me. And maybe you identify maybe more with some of the other women in the Bible. I kind of, maybe you identify a little bit more with Mary and Martha. Do we have any Marys and Marthas in here? I'm a little bit Mary and I'm a little bit Martha some days. Amen. You know, Mary and Martha, Martha was the one, she's making the prep because company's coming today and Jesus is going to be in the house. And you know that the pot roast has got to be just right and all of the linen has to be ironed and everything has to be set up. The food has to be cooked. The house has to be clean because Jesus is coming by today, right? Only when he gets there, she looks for her sister who's supposed to be helping, and the sister is the one who is the student, the studious one who's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now Jesus does not, and she says to him, my sister is supposed to be helping me, right? And Jesus says to her, Martha, you are cumbered about with much things, but Mary has chose the good part to set at his feet. And so, yeah, so like you're upset because, yeah, she gets to sit and I'm doing the housework, right? Or I'm the one that's getting everything done. But how often do we get so cumbered about sometimes with so many things in life that it saps our moments, it saps our quiet times, it saps our ability to just sit down and just listen at the feet of Jesus? You know, a lot of times when I get quiet time with Jesus, it's not quiet anymore because I don't stop talking long enough for him to talk to me. Like, I got so much to tell him when I finally get a quiet moment that I don't have time to stop long enough for him to talk back. Now, I mean, sometimes the most powerful times in our life are those moments where we just sit and we're quiet and we're silenced for a little bit and say, Lord, I need you to speak to me. And then we can talk to him and share our cares and our concerns and our woes and you know, all of the things that we do. But how many know we really need to be, there's nothing wrong with caring about your home and your meal and your servant and your heart of serving. But how many know you've got to find a balance sometimes in all of it? And realize that maybe that dirty dish might be in the sink by morning, but those fish you caught in the pond tonight are the pictures you're going to take. You might not have washed the dishes after supper, but you went fishing with the kids, and those are the moments that will continue, because nobody's going to notice if mom or dad washed the dishes, but they're going to notice if you help bait the hook. And so there's sometimes when we've got to find a balance in life between what is drawing us down or sapping the life out of you and saying, you know what, tonight we're just going to have some giggles. We're just going to have some fun. We're going to have some moments. We're going to make some memories. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Of all the things you can make in your life, make some good memories. And if you get a chance, take pictures of them. And then if you get a chance, print them. Because now we don't print pictures anymore. We take them. And they're lost on our phone sometime, and when we need that hard copy of a picture, we don't always have it. But I mean, you know, sometimes it's those moments, and they don't have to be. Listen, your kids don't have to go to Disney World to know you care about them. And Disney World's okay. But sometimes it's just ice cream. Sometimes it's just running barefoot in the park. Barefooted in the park. Sometimes it's as simple. Sometimes it's just going to the playground. Sometimes it's just dinner together. And you might not have little guys. Sometimes it's, listen, the best present you can give your mom is time. To spend the time to be there. Because there comes a moment when there's not anything left to buy that they need. But they do need some laughs, some giggles, and some time together. Those things are valuable. They're important. So yeah, sometimes we're a little bit Martha and sometimes we're a little bit Mary. And we got to find the balance in that. Isn't that the trick, to find the balance in our life of all those things? And so maybe I'm preaching to myself today, as I know I'm a little bit Martha and a little bit Mary. Some days one more than the other. I'll leave that up to you to decide. But let me know. I want to just mention some of the women in the Bible. Let me know Esther had beauty. One of the things that worked for Esther was her great beauty. And she won the king's favor, but because she won the king's favor, she saved her nation. Her beauty wasn't something that was vain or something that she flaunted it, but because, and see, beauty isn't just what you look like on the outside. Beauty is what you look like on the inside. The prettiest woman in the world is the one who's pretty on the inside. Amen? And so beauty is something that is powerful, but it's an inward thing. It's something that you have inside of you, a good heart, a beautiful heart. Martha had cleaning skills. There are those among us who have cleaning skills. Thank God for those people who love to get, you know, in the corners and find the cobwebs and all of those kind of things. But Mary had focus. Mary was able to focus. And she was able to sit at the feet of God and to glean from what he was saying. Naomi had wisdom. Amen? She had wisdom to get up on out of Moab. But Ruth had tenacity. When Naomi said to her, "Go back, my daughter. Go back to your land of your people. I have nothing left to give you. I am a bitter woman and I go away sorrowful." Ruth said, "Let me just tell you one thing. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people will be my people and thy God, my God." Ruth had tenacity. She didn't have the wisdom of Naomi, but she had tenacity. And she knew she needed to connect herself with somebody with wisdom. How many know, guys, sometimes the best thing you can do is join yourself with somebody who can draw that out of you, who can speak wisdom into your life. If you need grace, hang out with people who are graceful. If you need strength, hang out with people who are strong. If you need wisdom, hang out with somebody who's got some wisdom. You know, one of my favorite stories is the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pregnant with a child in her old age. Wow. Bless her heart. And if you think the terrible twos are bad, wait till he gets to be a teenager. Amen. And I love teenagers. But how many know Mary needed to connect with Elizabeth as much as Elizabeth needed to connect with Mary? Because one of the most powerful things I think that God says to them, when he says to Mary, a young, virgin, innocent girl, when an angel starts to speak prophetic things over your life, and you say back to God, "God, how could this ever be? How could you ever take anything and make anything out of where I am right now in my life?" He said, "Mary, it's not going to be done by man. It's going to be done by the Holy Spirit." Can somebody say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the times that you have overshadowed me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength when I knew it wasn't in myself to give, but the Holy Spirit did it. It's not by man, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit." And he said to her, "And by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's going to have a baby too." Because I believe God spoke that to Mary to give her the confidence to connect with somebody. That when God is speaking something in your life and God is speaking something in my life, that we can connect together and say, "I can believe for my miracle if I can believe for your miracle." And together we can see God do what he promised that he would do. But we all have different strengths. We all have callings. You can.
You know, sometimes it's important to write down what God says to you. I was going through some little notebooks and things that I had written down sermons and different things in. And I came across a prophecy that was given to me in 1989. We had gone to a campground down in Virginia. I forget what the name of it was. But anyway, we had gone down there, and this woman called me out. It was a big crowd, and I thought, you know, how God can point you out and call you forth. And I read that prophecy several times now,
And everything that she prophesied to me has come to pass. And I was overwhelmed with it at the time because I thought, how can all this be, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm like Sister Jenny with the you don't even drive, you know, kind of thing. But I wrote that down, and, you know, it's been encouraging to me lately because I keep reading it and I keep thinking, God, I'm overwhelmed with how faithful you are and how good you are and how blessed I am to be your child. And, you know, it's good to know, you know, write little notes down when God speaks to you. And I write them right in my Bible. You know, God spoke something to me. And write it.
Date it and sign it.
Yes. Good to write it down sometimes because that will encourage you at some other time.
Amen. Amen. When my mom said she was called to preach, my Aunt Jenny said, how are you going to do that? You don't even have a driver's license. How can this be? And she preached. Yes, she did. She went around the world from right over there in that TV studio. Yes, she did. That's the power of God. Never say never. Never say never. But my Aunt Jenny took her to church, and God miraculously saved both of their households, changed them around, put them on the right path. Amen. Miss Wilda, who has taught beside me in Sunday school and hung out with me as a camp buddy for years and years, before I was ever married, she was here and has been a source of strength to me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. My Sunday school teacher is here. Sam Blair was my Sunday school teacher growing up, and his wife Arlene, our piano player and worship, part of the worship team. Never did I think they would come and listen to me teach. But one thing I knew when Sam taught in our class is that he cared about us kids. And I believed that, and I knew that, and I always felt that from him. You may think that what you have is not important or that it's not powerful. It doesn't mean anything. When you spend time with those babies in those Sunday school classes and they've plucked your last nerve, and then you come back and do it again over and over, and you think it doesn't matter, but it does. The seeds that you sow, the lives that you touch. And see, all of us in here can spend today looking in our rearview mirror. The shouldas, the wouldas, the couldas. And all that does is get you a crick in your neck from looking backwards. Life is not to be lived through a rearview mirror. It's why you have a windshield in front of you. That's why your windshield is big and your rearview mirror is small. Forget those things which are behind. You may not be able to change yesterday, but you can change today, and you can change your tomorrows. And I'm here to tell you this morning, your tomorrows can be different. I shared this weekend, and I shared this real quickly earlier on, but I love the story of the young lad who brings the loaves and fishes to Jesus. In all of that 5,000 people, the scripture says there's a lad here. And it makes a point to call him a young boy or a lad. And he has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? Can I just tell you, somebody bothered that morning, whether it was his mama, his papa, or maybe himself. Somebody got up that morning and packed that son's lunch, that little boy's lunch, and said, son, you're going to be in the presence of Jesus today. And when you are, I don't want you to leave for any reason. I want you to stay and get everything you can get that Jesus has to say. I don't want you to leave to come home for lunch. I want you to stay in the presence of Jesus. But who knew that when that mama packed that basket full of fish and bread that morning, that that boy could take it to the miracle worker Messiah, and when he would hand what had been packed in his basket, that Jesus could take that bread and fish and feed a multitude with it. Let me tell you that every Sunday you pack fish and bread in the baskets of these kids that go out of here, one day they will stand in a place where Jesus will take everything that you have packed in them and you have supplied them with, and he will take that and he will feed nations and multitudes of people with what you packed in their lunch. Sometimes you got to trust what you have deposited in them. See, the prodigal trusted not the son. He trusted his investment in the son. See, he gave the money to the son, and the son didn't have the wisdom to do what he needed to do in it. He said, but I'm going to trust the investment that I put in him. That's why the father stood and said, when the father saw him afar off, he said, I knew I'd get a return on my investment. I knew that son who I had poured into, that I had preached to, that I had prayed over, that I rocked, that I sang lullabies to, that I took him to Sunday school. I knew one of those days that even if he ended up in the hog pen, that he would remember the investment that I put in him, and he would come back to Father's house. I want you to know this morning, wherever you are, keep packing their lunch. Keep packing their basket. Keep filling them up with the goodness of God. Keep telling them how powerful they are. Keep telling them how anointed they are. Keep telling them how called, how chosen they are. Because one of these days you may see that investment come back. Hallelujah. You want to change our nation, change our world, change our town, change our community, our schools, change your house. Let Jesus be the source of everything that happens in your life. It may not look like the Proverbs 31 woman. It may look like a whole lot of other comedy sitcoms. Amen. Some days it just looks crazy. Looks like we've all lost our mind. And maybe we have. But you know what I love? I love do-overs. I love do-overs. Because the scripture said his mercies are new every morning. So regardless of what happened yesterday, today's a do-over. Start where you are and keep going from there. Hallelujah. And trust the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary to do above and beyond anything you can do or make happen. Ruth had tenacity. Dorcas had a needle. Sarah had laughter. And she birthed laughter. See, I love that because the scripture said when they came to Sarah and told her, you're going to have a baby in your old age, she laughed. Well, yeah. Like, what else you going to do? You're either going to laugh or cry. One of the two. Can I get an amen from the sisters in the house? But see, I think at first she may have laughed in mockery, thinking, oh, yeah. And then she laughed and said, oh, yeah. Because how many know some days you just got to laugh about it. You got to laugh your way through. You got to set the atmosphere in your home.
She was my most difficult child, and she knows that. But I used to say all the time, she's so difficult, but she's so funny. She made me laugh every day, and then at the end of the day, that's what made the difference. So sometimes life is not easy. It's so difficult. But if you can laugh in the midst of it, one day you'll make it through. I tell her now with hers, I survived and you survived. You'll survive this, and so will she.
We both lived through this. It's going to be okay. There is life after childhood. Amen. Sometimes you just got to laugh. Because it's just funny. Hannah had a prayer life. You remember that they thought she was drunk. And the priesthood wanted to smite her and send her away as a crazy drunken woman. She said, but I got prayer and I know how to use it. Come on, somebody. I got prayer life and I know how to use it. Mary's innocence, Elizabeth's strength, Anna's prophetic wisdom. Lois and Eunice worked together as a team. You remember Lois and Eunice? It was the mother and the grandmother who raised a Timothy, who was the student and the son of Paul. He was Paul's student and Paul's right-hand man. How many know sometimes it takes mama and grandmama to get her done? And sometimes great-grandmama to get them all done. And aunts and uncles and yes. Yes. I was thinking earlier that I was blessed to have three sisters. I was blessed to have three brothers too, but it's Mother's Day. So I was blessed to have three sisters, and all of us are so different in some ways, but yet we're the same in some ways. And if there is something that needs to be done, if Terry or Sherry can't do it, and probably Amy too, it probably is just not going to get done. It probably can't be done, because I really think that these two girls can hang the moon. There's not much that they cannot accomplish. My sister Amy is talented in arts and music and things like that. We are different. Even though they're twins, they're different. But they're some of the most powerful women I know. And they don't have their lights and their names in marquees. They don't have big followings. They've never wrote a book yet. But they probably have touched more lives than a lot of people that I know. And sometimes we just got to connect with people who can pull out of us talents and abilities. Okay, I was blessed with three good brothers too. And they all have talents, and every one of them are so different, but yet gifted and called. And my brother Andy is my dad reincarnated. And I loved that man. Yeah. He was my hero. My dad was my hero, and I love him. And so I'm thankful and blessed to be raised in that house, in that family. And she writes beautiful poetry.
She is extremely talented when it comes to writing, and like you said, in music. And I can't just push her that way, you know. Just
yes, she's very talented in writing and poetry and things like that. And God gives us each giftings, but the moment that you compare yourself and think you're supposed to be just like them is the moment you set yourself up for failure and think, you know, I don't measure up to them. But you were never meant to. You were never meant to be. Lydia was an entrepreneur. Yochebed was a mom who unselfishly gave of her son that he could ultimately come back and lead a nation out of slavery. Deborah, her name means bee. I think she was probably a hornet. Because she was the one who Barak said, I'll go into battle, but I'm not going without Deborah. I love that. And one of her girlfriends' name was JL. Yeah, and she knew the power of a tent spike and a hammer. Yeah. Yeah, powerful women. Powerful women. You know, she's the one that nailed Sisera to the floor. See, I believe in the power of the spike. Amen. The hammer and the nail. Amen. But all of them had a and there's many more women in there, I'm sure, that I didn't mention them all. But the good news is that you are enough. You were created to be you, and you need to celebrate your strengths, men or women. Whether you've birthed your own children, whether you've helped birth children, there's no way that you cannot, I believe in this culture that we live in, that you cannot have influence on children, whether it's in classrooms, whether it's in youth groups, whether it's through just women that you are connected with. We all nurture, we all care for, we're all a part of this whole thing that makes our communities function. We have a little bit of grit, and we have a little bit of grace, and a combination of that. Hallelujah. I got to travel with Trish this weekend, and she is one of those. She's, I don't know, she's Deborah JL. I don't know, but we like hanging out together. But, I thank the Lord for connections. Amen. That are covenant connections that are not just people you go to church with, but people you love. Amen. That empower you, that challenge you to be who you were called to be. But you know, we listen to all that, and we say all that, and we think all the great Deborahs and the great Esthers and the great virtuous woman and all that. And then who made it into the Great Hall of Faith? Rahab did. Grit and grace. Because here's the deal, Rahab may not have had the background that everybody else had. Rahab may not have had the opportunities everybody else had. She might not have had the upbringing everybody else had. She might not have had a praying grandma or mom, or she may not have made all the right choices. Remember, she's the harlot of Jericho. But let me tell you what, when the spies came with a message, she heard a message that changed her life. And when she did, she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang a scarlet cord in my window. And when you come back, I want you to rescue my family, because the only thing about this city that matters to me is my family, and that God saves my family. Here you go, girls. Here's a great thing for you. If you don't do anything in your life but minister to your family, you have been a success. And when you don't always have it together, find somebody who does, who can help you. My grandmother Barker was a powerful woman, and probably what was most powerful about her was her bag of candy in her purse. Mom would say, I can't take all these kids to church. They'll just be all over me, and I can't control 6 kids at church by myself. Amy wasn't born yet. She said, bring them, and I'll bring some candy. And she ministered to us through candy, but it kept us there. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. And so her ministry may not have been great big things, but she cared that her kids knew about Jesus. Because you got to invest to get a return on your investment. Trish can tell you, if you don't put any money in an investment, you're not going to get anything back out of it. But when we invest, we trust God to bring the increase. And I love it that he gives back to his good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. She embraced the message. She saved her household. And she kept the scarlet cord, or the scarlet connection, ever visible in her house. That scarlet connection goes back to that scarlet worm. You remember that we talked about that she would attach herself to the tree. She would lay her eggs and cover her babies. And then she would let loose a stain that would forever stain her children. I am forever stained by the blood of Jesus. And what I mean by that is, no matter where I go, the mark of Jesus will always be on my life. Because he said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The scarlet cord really is just symbolic of the blood of Jesus that is visible in our house. Remember when they were coming out of Egypt and he said, I want you to take the lamb and I want you to paint the doorpost of the house. So when the death angel passes over, he doesn't stop and knock at your door. I mean, no, death does not have to stop at your door. Sin does not have to stop at your door. The enemy does not have to stop at the accuser that wants you to make you think you are less than who he says you are. He does not have to stop at your door. And if he does, don't answer it. Don't open the door. Say, Jesus, somebody's knocking. You get that. Because the blood of Jesus is on your doorpost. The lamb is in the house. And we've made preparation for an exodus out of Egypt. Oh, it's possible. Somebody say, it's possible. Hallelujah. Because we sang it this morning. All things are possible to them who believe. Hallelujah. We celebrate you this morning. I want you to know how honored and loved you are in this house. Men and women alike, some of the most powerful people I know are in this room today. You're world changers. You're called, you're anointed, you're appointed, you are purposed. And I don't care where you are right now in your life, God has a plan for you. And if you'll trust the Holy Ghost, He will take you to the places that He wants to take you in your life and do above and beyond anything you can even ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. We invite you as best things. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, wow, what a great day would be to receive Him. What a great opportunity. If you need altar time, prayer time, our altars are always open. If you need special prayer, all of that is available to you as Beth sings this song this morning. Hallelujah.